As we stated a moment ago, we are appreciative of everyone here, especially any visitors that we have visiting with us. We encourage you to come back at every opportunity you have to be with us here at ESAD. Just a side note to the announcements, let's also not forget that Sister Rosalie is still recovering from a broken arm and a fractured hip as well. She's struggling with it. I think the biggest thing she's struggling with right now is just the aggravation of not being able to get out and do and go where she wants to go, when she wants to go. And I can relate to that. We're going to continue our study of the book of Romans this morning. If you want to follow along, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 12. What we've seen so far in this chapter is answers to such questions as what is indicative to true transformation. We saw that in the first couple of verses. And what constitutes God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for Christians. We've also seen in previous lessons that it includes fulfilling our function. We notice that in verses 3 through 8, that we all have a function and we need to fulfill, do the job that God has given us to do. In verse 9, we talked about love being without hypocrisy and at the same time abhorring what is evil. And in verse 10, Paul talked to us about loving the brethren with family affection, our Christian family, and esteeming one another highly. Then in verse 11, he talked about serving the Lord diligently with a fervent spirit. Well, we didn't cover these verses because we're not doing each verse, but other verses that he talked about. In verse 12, he talked about rejoicing in hope, being patient in tribulation, and steadfast in prayer. And in verse 13, he talked about having fellowship in the needs of the saints, pursuing hospitality toward strangers. And then he talked about in verse 14 that we are to bless those who persecute us. Now that's a tough one, isn't it? So now we come to chapter 12 and verse 15. And it's a short verse and we get two exhortations in this verse. In the first part of verse 15 he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep in the second half of verse 15. So in this text, in this verse, we are called to show or display the virtue of empathy. The empathy toward one another. And what that entails is going to be what we're studying about today. So let's begin by defining empathy. Empathy is not sympathy, okay? And when you compare it to sympathy, sympathy is defined as an inclination to support or be loyal to or agree with an opinion. That could be anything from how someone's feeling all the way up to a political discussion. You could have sympathy in that definition for a political teaching or a religious teaching. But when we talk about empathy, it is defined as understanding and entering into another's feelings. You know, I often tell people that one of the worst diseases to understand is Alzheimer's. And I tell people when I talk to them that others may say they sympathize with you, but in essence they don't have empathy because they have never been through this. And it's difficult to understand what someone else is going through. And it may be an illness. It may be a death in the family. I can empathize with someone over the loss of their mother. I could not empathize with someone over the loss of a child. Because I've never been through that. And that, to me, is what the difference in sympathy and empathy is. And one may be sympathetic while not being empathetic. The latter, the empathy, requires a deeper emotional involvement than simply sympathy. So empathy has a place in the church. The Lord intended us to have that type of connection between ourselves as members of His body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, Paul writes, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's basically what he says here in Romans 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But here he explains it, I think, in a little bit more detail. When we suffer, it is a great empathy for someone to say and that they understand what you're going through. And this command grows out of what is stated in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Albert Barnes talks about this. He said this command grows out of the command stated in chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, that the church is one, that it has one interest, and therefore that there should be common sympathy in its joys and sorrows. So let's look at what Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5 says. Paul says here, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body."